Shaq Barrett, you're not getting out of here. I don't know who the heck they're going to draft. Give me a little credit. Come on. What's the matter? Maybe the waters were a little too chilly. You got to stop saying that. This is what All In looks like.
Absolute pandemonium at JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters, where we sit here with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton, the king of Pasco County, Ira Kaufman, Uncle Ira Sage. What a day it is. Signings, action, intrigue, a lot going on, more than what people even think is going on. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford for 60-plus years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry. GM Sean Sullivan, he is just dancing over there, fired up, one big Bucks fan and one big fan of Bucks fans looking for vehicles, because he will help you personally as a GM of a massive, successful dealership to help you navigate whatever you're looking for. He's going to help you. Sage, how are you? How are you feeling?
There's only one word that sums this up. Rapture. Rapture, gentlemen. And start off by welcoming Lee DeKemper back in off the ledge. He's off the ledge. He was worried as hell over Shaq Barrett. Guys, I didn't think the Bucks could top what the hell they did in January and early February, but March is coming in like a lion over here. Hats off to the executive suite. Hats off to Brady, because let's face it, he's involved in everything positive that this franchise does, as long as he's a member of this organization. We talked about a big eight. There was really a big three for me. And within the big three, there was a big one. And to me, the one was Shaq Barrett. I don't know this for a fact, Lee, but it kind of backs up my observation that Jason Light, when he franchised Godwin, which, I would not normally have done based on position, but when he did it, Lee, he had a pretty damn good idea of his understanding with the guy that you call Oily Drew Rosenhaus. Otherwise, I don't think he franchises Godwin, Lee. He had a good feeling about the Barrett negotiations, and his intuition was correct.
Well, I think Pat Kerwin hit the nail on the head. And Kerwin, of course, who former Jets pro player personnel director, and he's on SiriusXM NFL radio. The day after they franchised Godwin, he thought that was a little odd. He would franchise Godwin, not Shaq, because the Bucks are loaded at wide receiver, and they only have, well, outside of JPP, they only have one other pass rush. But he spoke about, if you did franchise Shaq, Rosenhaus wasn't going to take a dime less than the franchise tag. Because Rosenhaus would say, this is Kerwin's words, not mine. What do I want to take a pay cut for? So I think that played a major factor. Light would have boxed himself in with Rosenhaus had he tagged Shaq.
Absolutely. And Steve, take it a step further.
Ira, I'm way more excited than all you guys, and I'm taking the Homer mindset here. I am thinking Shaq told Rosenhaus, like most clients do, big-name clients, they tell their agent what they want, and then they tell the agent to go get it, and that's what a good agent does. I think Shaq just told Rosenhaus, tell him I don't want to be franchised, tell him I'll take the best damn deal that they can get me, and if they insult me, I'll go elsewhere, otherwise, get me some respect. And he got it, and here's Shaq. He took less money. I'm going to give Shaq all the credit in the world for being honest, saying he wanted to be here since day one. They got it done. It's a great situation for Jason Light, and everybody's all in, and this time they mean it.
I think today is the critical day, because after the Brady restructure, freeing up, $19 million and change, Lee, and if that happens, and then Barrett hits free agency and goes elsewhere, that's a major disappointment for Buck fans. That's a major bummer.
I don't know if the words bummer or disappointment are apt here. I think crushing would be a better word, verb.
Yeah, Steve, the point I'm making is that the Brady restructure made the Barrett thing even more paramount. And it was already a hell of a priority item, but you can't free up $19 million and then lose Barrett. That's a crippling blow.
There you go. Crippling. That's even better.
Absolutely, Ira. There was just no way this could happen, and it didn't. So here we are, Ira, and I have to ask you a philosophical question. I've been debating when to ask you this in the podcast. I don't know if I should get too heavy early because I'm so excited. But so first, I will share my excitement with all the great offers at BillCurryFord.com, Ira. It's just incredible what's going on now. Tax savings and incentives with your return. People are getting their money from the government. People are realizing what incredible offers there are year-round at Bill Curry Ford. How are you enjoying that 2020 Ford Escape, Ira? It's the luxury line, and you know that's something people could just get into right away.
Where do you think I'm calling you from, Steve? Right here. You know, cherry red Ford Escape. Beautiful vehicle. So happy with it. The only guy that is better at numbers than this Greenberg character at One Buck Place might be Sean Sullivan. Lee, I'm serious about this. You walk in, you're worried about your, you know, your credit rating. It's not that good. You probably can't afford the vehicle you want. Lee, you're not getting out of that showroom. Sullivan will find a way. He will find a way, just like Greenberg and Light. They find a way. Shaq Barrett, you're not getting out of here. And, you know, Bill Curry, customer, you're not getting out of here. And they will find a way to make you happy. And, you know, the selection is fantastic, the inventory. The showroom is beautiful. BillCurryFord.com, 1 mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry.
All right, Ira Lee, here comes the philosophical question. I can't wait anymore. I can't. So we saw what the Buccaneers did in 2020, adding Tom Brady and making the plays that they made. Now we see how they're approaching this offseason like they really have never done before, being willing to kick a bunch of salary cap money down the road where in 2023 they might be playing with $30 million in dead money, you know, basically money that they can't spend on players because you know, they have to pay the piper to the NFL salary cap gods. So I ask you this, Ira. In the past, before last season and now, we've heard the Bucs say that they've been all in. We're all in this year. We're, you know, making the moves all in. So what I have to ask you is, were they ever really all in? Because we listened to a whole steaming pile of BS back in 2017 when we were told, oh, we can't afford Calais Campbell. Dirk Cutter even said, well, you got $16, $17 million laying around. And we ended up with Swaggy Baker. And we didn't get a running back when we could have had running backs in free agency. So my question to you guys is, were they ever really all in before the last couple of years, or was it just a bunch of talk?
This is a whole new level. This is all in. This is what all in looks like. And if they bring back Sue, which there's a decent chance they will, that would never have happened. Years ago, they probably would have let Lavonte David at 31 test the marketplace. Lee, this is all in. And this is what happens when you've got a 43-year-old all-time great under center and you win a Super Bowl. Lee, a point you made many, many times last week in the podcast, and it's the absolute point to make, that they got it done. So what does this mean for the Glazers, ultimately, the guys that make the big decisions? They like lifting up that Lombardi trophy. They like standing on that stage on February 7th with 120 million people watching them. They kind of like that. And what are they going to do? Retreat now that they've won one title when you still got Brady playing at peak performance? No. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And they're just like Buck fans, Lee. The Glazers could care less about the 2024 cap situation. Don't care, not going there. And you know what? Buck Nation's right there with them.
They shouldn't be. I mean, they're in a very, very rare position of defending Super Bowl champions with a good chunk of their team is a bunch of young guys. So, you know, why wouldn't they do this? I mean, that the fact that they're doing this is not a surprise. If they weren't doing this, that would raise flags to me. But if you're asking about a different philosophy, yeah, a different philosophy's name is Bruce Arians. You know, when you got Dario Ogunbowale that you're banking on, and there was all kinds of other running backs you could have got, free agency, whatever, make a trade, whatever. And they're banking on Dari Ogunbowale. Are you kidding me? That was evidence right there. I mean, I guarantee you, Jameis Winston's sitting in New Orleans like, geez, how come you didn't get any running backs for me? You know, he got stuck with the Doug Martins of the world. At any rate, there's no question there's a different philosophy. Shady McCoy. Jason Light never would have signed Shady McCoy before. Never. Matter of fact, he had chances to sign him. He never would have because he was pushing 30. In fact, he's over 30. He never would have signed him. That was a Bruce Arians move. Certainly there's a change of philosophy, and it's called Bruce Arians. But why wouldn't there be a change of philosophy right now? I mean, they're defending Super Bowl champs. If they repeat, Bruce Arians, I think, is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you want to get into this a little bit later. Steve and I stumbled across something yesterday in an interview Jason Light had. Hope people are sitting down for this. Light might be a candidate for Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Whoa. Take it out. Take it easy. Gentlemen.
History suggests yes.
I called for his firing 2 years ago, gentlemen.
Yeah, but he's holding the Lombardi Trophy right now.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't see you presenting Jason Light for the Hall of Fame with a losing record. He'd have to really.
Go into this while I brought it up. Should I go into that?
No. But I'm going to say, Steve, Lee, I'm going to add this to Steve's philosophical question. Yes, it's totally different approach to free agency. And Steve, I'm going to suggest that where this franchise is right now, it's going to extend to the draft, where for the first time, I think, since I came to town in 85, and I'm even counting the Dungy Gruden years, I think this is the first time that the Bucks enter a draft with no glaring issues where, hey, this is our priority position, and let's go get the best guy at this position. I think that's all behind them. I don't know who the heck they're going to draft. It could be a defensive tackle. It could be a corner. It could be a running back. I think if ever you're going to take the best available guy at 32, this is the year. Go do it.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to throw this past you. And I just feel a little bit jilted, Ira, because I feel like the all-in we heard before was a phony all-in. When you look at what they're right. doing now, it feels like a big fraud. But I'm over it. We won the Super Bowl. Who cares? But Ira, I'll say this, with the money they freed up, and we've heard that Shaq's contract was not necessarily going to be much of a hit in 2021, that was kicked down the road as well, I want another pass rusher. I want another edge rusher in free agency. There's supposed to be some good second-tier guys, $4, $5, $6 million, maybe one of these guys supposedly playing on a one-year deal. Go get another one. Go get another one. And I think they have the money to do it and find a way to do it. Frankly, I would sit here and say, you know what? If you can get a Carlos Dunlap or a quality, consistent edge rusher who's second tier to be that third guy, go do it. I don't need Cameron Brate on this team. I'm sorry. We got enough weapons. Get the edge rusher. How about that?
You're not going to get an argument from Lee or me on this point, Steve. And it raises a bigger point, which is even more optimistic for Buck fans to mull about. We all thought, well, you know, who can they retain? They can't retain everybody. I think they're going to go beyond retaining. Now, you know, Fournette may go by the wayside. Sue may go by the wayside. But, Lee, they're also going to pick up a couple of guys. I think on the cheap, too. They're going to get a little bit of a Tom Brady discount. And by that, I mean a guy that wants to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, takes maybe a little bit less than another team is offering them. And by the way, Lee, give me a little credit. You were a little worried about Gronk. You know, there's a story the other day. I want to test the waters. I never bought it for a second, Lee. Never bought it for a second. I told you that I cannot conceive Gronkowski not retiring and playing for a different franchise. Lee, that was never going to happen, and I think that's proven out.
Well, obviously, he re-signed with the Bucks, but my suspicions were confirmed when Kyle Brandt bluntly asked him, are you coming back with the Bucks? And he said, no, I'm testing the waters. I have other teams calling me. I'd like it to be the Bucks. So my suspicions about how he kept saying in various social media posts, hey, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. But he never said the Bucks. He never said Tampa. And then my suspicions were, I think, warranted when he told me.
Wait a minute. The test in the waters. Steve, he didn't even get wet. What do you mean test in the waters? Canaries, come on. Test in the waters. Who are you kidding?
I don't know what the guy's calendar was the last week and a half, 2 weeks. I don't know who he was talking to. I don't know who Rosen. You think Rosenhaus wasn't talking to anybody? Seriously?
He could have waited the rest of the week to test the freaking waters. What's the matter? Maybe the waters were a little too chilly.
Well, $10 million kind of builds a bridge for you.
Well, I wanted to bring that up. Spotrac, which is very reliable with the contracts, they've already posted Gronk's actual contract. It's $8 million for 2021 with $2 million worth of incentives. And they've also had these voidable years to kick a few million bucks down the road. But I'm going to agree with Lee, Ira, and I'll tell you why. Because Gronk getting $8 million, which is like top six money for tight ends in a year where they're cutting salaries and he's potentially getting a raise with these incentives, it tells me that he had a market out there. Because why at his age and with his history, why would he get a raise, essentially, if he didn't have another suitor? Now, maybe Rosenhaus played it well, but, you know, Jason Light's got a good feel, and I don't think Gronk would have, like you said, I don't think he would have gone anywhere. So I'm going to go with Lee. My gut says he had another offer. That's why he got this potentially $10 million deal.
I would not have given him that kind of money, Lee. I would not.
Even if Brady was breathing down your neck?
Well, I think that's the reason he got it, Lee. You would think O.J. Howard would be healthy this fall. You would think.
I don't know about that.
They have Brate. There's other tight ends out there that don't cost that kind of money. I don't think I would have gave Gronkowski that kind of money. But, you know, him, Brady, you got to keep Brady happy. And
yeah,
we'll see what happens with Antonio Brown. Next up for me is Ryan Succop. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think he's the next priority.
Absolutely agree. Totally agree.
Definitely an important piece. And, you know, when you're trying to save money, you always want to do that when you're investing in your most important asset, which is your home. And if you have a disaster, if you have mold, and mold is everywhere in Florida, if you have a flood, fire, you got to call a top disaster company that you can trust that's not going to rip you off, that's going to give you a good assessment of what's happening, a free assessment, and work with your insurance company so you don't get screwed. That is Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaseliterestoration.com. Ira, I know you have on your fridge at Shea Kaufman there in Newport Richey. You know, if lightning strikes your roof and all of a sudden you got a leak and a disaster and your old 1960s napkin set is burned up and the wall is charred and next thing you know there's mold in your attic, that's who you're calling.
I got it right under Dirt Cutter's phone number. It's nice and handy. I can't miss it. You know, Josh does a great job, and he hires the right people. Florida's Elite Restoration. Mold is not something to mess around with. Neither is re-signing Shaq Barrett. But if you have a problem, even if you think it's minor, give them a call and get a free assessment. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yeah, don't screw around. They're there 24-7. They'll respond 24-7. It's not some sort of operator in China that you're going to get. It's a great local company, and they're going to respond to you and come on out. I mean, we've talked to Josh when he's like, hey, you know, somebody called me Saturday afternoon. I got to get out there, and I'll talk to you soon. Great service, floridaseliterestoration.com. All right, Ira, so we're getting greedy. We're talking about another edge rusher. Yeah, I got so excited. Did you guys respond to that? Do you want another edge rusher? What's going on here, Ira?
Oh, absolutely. You can't have enough. I mean, the Bucks drafted nothing but edge rushers, I'd probably buy light a case of beer. I believe in the pass rush.
No question about it. And that's why I thought the Shaq Barrett was so important. You know, they replayed the Super Bowl again on NFL Network. And again, I tuned in. And I didn't even remember, but I believe it was the second snap of the game for the Chiefs. They might have run on first down. And the second snap, here comes Shaq Barrett. Boom, yeah. Right in Mahomes' face. Probably only two or three quarterbacks in the league could have avoided a sack like Mahomes did. He avoided a sack, but it busted up the play. Now, what does that go down in the stat sheet? It's not a sack. Maybe it's a hurry. But, you know, he set the tone, Lee, right from the start. And that's what edge rushers can do.
It's why I go so bananas about an edge rush. It speaks for itself. There are people who lurk among us, Ira, that don't believe in a pass rush. I see the comments on Joe Buck's. I think it was Tuesday. I had to quit commenting. Every once in a while, I will answer comments. I had to quit Tuesday. I couldn't respond to any of these people about Jack. I just couldn't do it. I would go mental. I just couldn't do it. I gave it up. It's like, you know, people want to live in La La Land. Knock yourself out. Oh, Vita Vea made him. I mean, just stop. Go back to your hallucinogenics.
Steve, there was a time, you know, like mid-70s, that if you had a stellar secondary and an average pass rush, you could still have a pretty darn good defense. You know, you could beat up the receivers at the line of scrimmage. You could do a lot of things.
Mid-70s? Did you just say mid-70s?
Well, mid-70s, mid-80s, till they started tinkering with the rules. Everything's changed now, and Lee's point is very, very astute. You can't play a shred, a lick of pass defense now without a really good pass rush. You just can't do it. And you can't have enough of them. And you have a nice rotation, just like you have a rotation at D-tackle. You have a rotation on the edge. Nothing wrong with that.
For a little perspective on the market, Yannick Ngakoue, who's bounced around, but is Shaq's age. He's a pro bowler. He's been productive everywhere he's been. He signed a 2-year deal with Chucky out in Vegas. So that's $13 million a year for Yannick. And Shaq got $18 million. So just a little bit perspective.
And go ahead. Bud Dupree signed with the Titans for $16.5 million a year.
Wow.
So there you go. So Shaq, maybe he got the best deal he could have gotten. You know, we'll never know. But eventually we'll talk to Shaq. I'm sure he'll come clean. He's that kind of guy. At some point, he'll spit it out. All right, Ira. Now, listen, we got fans fired up because the draft party that we didn't get to have last year, we're going. It's going to be exciting as hell at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. First night of the draft. Draft party, just you can circle it now. We're probably going to get rolling about 7 o'clock. Get dinner in, get all lubed up, and then the Bucks will pick about midnight. So much fun, just south of Ulmerton Road, 49th Street, outdoors, 3,000 square foot outdoor area, indoor tap room on top of that, plenty of room. They're going to have extra seats. It's going to be insane. But in the meantime, drink all the Big Storm beer you can, responsibly, of course. It's everywhere. New tap room in Orlando. Then there's our tap room up in Odessa. Cape Coral, BigStormBrewery.com. I was drinking them today, Ira. Very excited. This is just that kind of day at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters. It's not every day, and maybe you can give some historical perspective, Ira, but it's not every day that a Super Bowl team is on the cusp of bringing back its entire defense and a million weapons on offense.
The heavy lifting's done. Suck up's going to come back. They're not letting them go. Light's too smart for that. If he wants $3 million, give it to him. He's earned it. Sue, you know, I'd like him back, but Lee, as far as Sue, Fournette, and Antonio Brown, and I'm not knocking them as players, Lee, but life goes on. Life goes on, Lee. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. The heavy lifting's been done. Hell of a job. I didn't think the Barrett thing would necessarily be announced Monday, but you know, last week, I like the vibes. I like the vibes on Barrett, especially in the wake of the Brady restructuring. I may be off. I might be off sides here, Lee. But from a football perspective, Lee, I don't think Antonio Brown makes a lot of sense for the Bucs. I mean, I just don't. He's not clear of his legal issues. I know he's not commanding a lot of money. But, Lee, I'll tell you one kind of little intangible. If you bring Brown back, and certainly it would only be done because Brady kind of puts his foot down, Lee. But maybe I'm alone in this, but I kind of want to see more of Tyler Johnson, Lee. I want to see more of him. If he's the number five receiver, I mean, how many opportunities is Tyler Johnson going to get on this franchise? He made enough plays to get me a little bit excited about his potential. I want to see more of Tyler Johnson. And I don't want Antonio Brown kind of stunting his growth a little bit.
I don't know, Brown. Number one, I don't know that Brown was stunting his growth. Tyler Johnson shows some promise. He made a few too many drops for my liking, but obviously he had some excellent catches. And, you know, he was inconsistent, but that he was a rookie. So, you know, that happens with a rookie. Well, did Brown all of a sudden this past week or two all of a sudden have legal problems that I'm not aware of? He had legal problems last year. Scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So I think Brown's more important than you're giving him credit for, Ira. I do. Now, he's not peak Antonio Brown when he was with the Steelers, but he made some clutch catches down the stretch. He really did. I don't think he's stunning Tyler Johnson at all. You know, Tyler Johnson's getting plenty of targets for a rookie. He got plenty of targets.
Well, he's certainly no better than the number three wide receiver. Certainly no better than that.
Who's no better than wide
receiver? Brown.
But, I mean, what a number three receiver to have. That's one reason why the Bucs won the Super Bowl.
I want to see Johnson. I want to see Johnson. And I want him to get more snaps. I want him to get more opportunities. I think Brown's a shell of himself. He was the best receiver in football. Yeah, he was. He
sure was.
You know, and his name's going to come up for Kent. It's going to come up.
He's not been the same since Vontae Burfict nearly beheaded him in a playoff game at Cincinnati.
But Lee, give him credit. He behaved himself. He didn't cause any disruptions, and he played pretty well down the stretch. But I guess what I'm saying is that Tyler Johnson's growing on me a little bit. A little bit.
All right, Ira. Well, first of all, I'm just going to say Antonio Brown's a slam dunk Hall of Famer. We all know it. I hope you agree with me.
I said he's coming up for consideration in Kent. That's what I said.
I wasn't sure what you meant by coming up for consideration. I wasn't sure. Hey, Ira, I'm going a little crazy. I have to admit, I'm going insane here. I'm all fired up with this whole new legitimate all-in scenario that the Bucks are playing. The Jason Lights are just, you know, cranking AC/DC, team headquarters, team Glazers screaming. Here's my question for you. It goes back to something that you've written about many, many, many times. We've talked about it on previous podcasts, but not this year, or not in a while anyway. But Ryan Griffin was the third string quarterback this year, made a little bit more than $1.5 million. We weren't going to win a Super Bowl if it came down to Ryan Griffin getting the job done. And Tom Brady's coming off knee surgery. He's going to be 44. He's still a legend. We all know he's awesome, but you've talked about getting a better backup quarterback in here just in case. We know they love Blaine Gabbert. Yes, Blaine Gabbert, fantastic. But what about a number three? And I'm going to throw this name out to you just because I know that he lives full-time. He has not moved. I learned this for a fact. He lives full-time. His family is here in Tampa, just a Bradley Pinion punt from the stadium. And he once played for the Bucs for just $4 million. And I don't think any of us doubt that this is a guy who could win a playoff game if there was an injury, or even could potentially, you know, channel his magic to win a Super Bowl. And that's Ryan Fitzpatrick, who wants to keep playing. Quick podcast intermission here. Yes, late last night, Ryan Fitzpatrick signed a $10 million deal to play a season for the Washington football team. And who knows what they're doing at quarterback. So is everything I just brought up a waste of time? Well, in some ways, sure, but not really. Not the way Ira answers the question and not the way it goes. So we're going to allow it. And before we get back to it, remember, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Whenever you have any sort of disaster in your home, your first phone call, 24/7, Florida's Elite Restoration. Find them at floridaselite-restoration.com. Our thanks to our presenting sponsor, as always, Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan. It's no joke. Email him, call him. He is the guy waiting to assist you with any questions you might have, whatever those questions might be about your vehicle situation. He wants to help. He's a Bucks fan, and he's an Ira Kaufman fan. So many readers and listeners have taken him up on it. BillCurryFord.com. So, Ira, if the money's laying around somehow, if they're really all in, don't they try to pull in a third-string quarterback who can actually win a playoff game?
Is that Lee groaning in the background, or is there a problem? Is there a malfunction here?
No, I think his bitch just gave me freaking nausea.
Steve, we have to acknowledge something, whether we agree with it or not, and that is Arians has a comfort level with Blaine Gabbert. He has one. Doesn't mean we have to agree with it. I've looked up Blaine Gabbert's playing career. It does not exactly jump out at you. Maybe he didn't have the greatest talent around him. But Arians likes the guy. And what Arians, you know, likes, Arians gets. Certainly even more so now, Lee, that he's got a Lombardi trophy, you know, on his bookcase. So they seem content with the backup QB situation. I've railed against it, Lee. You know, they were fortunate with Brady. You know, I mean, Brady's had one injury in 21 years. I mean, that's the way it is. One, you know, serious injury. Until he gets hurt, it's not an issue. But then it is. My answer to Fitzpatrick is, no, you don't bring him in as a number three. He's better than that. And they're not bringing him in as a number two. Lee, we got to live with Blaine Gabbert for the time being.
And just as long as it's not Fitzpatrick, I never understood what people's fascination is with the guy unless they were devout Jameis haters. This guy's a career loser. He cannot stay on the field as far as winning a starting job. I mean, just everywhere. He's like Bongo Star of F Troop fame. That's what this guy is. And I just don't get it. And he's still living in Tampa, Fitzpatrick is?
Full-time in Tampa all through last year in Miami. His family's here. And he turns 39 in November. And, I mean, if he's a career loser, what's Blaine Gabbert? So I have to throw that out there. But I don't know why.
He's Arians' buddy. That's what he is. But
sure.
Fitzpatrick.
Sure. I don't know why you wouldn't like him as a number three, Ira. If he wants to
I wouldn't like him carrying somebody's water. I think he is horrible. And by the way, is he going to provide the greatest asset to the Bucs that Ryan Griffith provides? That he's Brady's bodyguard and helper when he's drunk?
You know, this time, you know, if there was anything to ever tell you where this franchise is, this bitch just did it. Here we are on a podcast in mid-March, and he's asking about the number three quarterback on the Buccaneers. That's where we are, gentlemen. We used to ask questions about the number one quarterback on the Buccaneers, and Izvitz is now wants us to weigh in on the guy behind the guy of Tom Brady. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
Ryan Griffith, how many millions of dollars has he made just being the proverbial clipboard holder?
Now,
what a great gig.
I'm with Izvitz on one point. He has been a very good backup quarterback. He's a backup quarterback.
I don't even know if I'd go there. I mean, God.
You know, I'll give Steve that.
I won't distress anybody with the Fitzpatrick talk, Lee, Ira. I won't do it anymore. Just hopefully it won't come down to some sort of December surprise where we're going to Ryan Griffin and we could have had better.
Steve, we should not let this podcast conclude without at least saying a bravo to Drew Brees. You know,
the Bucs podcast.
Well,
Bucs fans are celebrating this guy's done.
Drew Brees has been very involved in the fortunes of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the last 15 years, and their misfortune. So, you know, hats off, hell of a career, first ballot Hall of Famer. Although I heard somebody try and argue that he's not. I mean, I think that's just stupid. But my point is, guys, the Bucs have Brady. They know they have Brady, and Sean Payton doesn't even know who the hell he's got under center. The Falcons got a guy they don't even want anymore under center, and Carolina doesn't want Bridgewater. This David Tepper guy can't wait to get rid of him and move on. So there's upheaval all around this division except at one Buck place. Things are looking up, gentlemen. They're looking way, way up.
Before we end this podcast, I don't want to let people hang and think I'm completely out of my mind. I want to explain myself. My Jason Light comment that he might be a Hall of Fame candidate. I know you were repulsed when I said that, Ira. Let me explain. He did a sit-down with Casey Phillips on Buccaneers.com. And oddly enough, Jason is just terribly uncomfortable doing interviews. You get him away from the camera, and he's a hell of a guy. But you keep putting a camera in front of him, he freezes up.
There's another Hall of Famer, Casey Phillips. Now you got two Hall of Famers.
Well, you know, like an oh, by the way kind of thing. He's like, there's not too many guys that are picking number one overall and pick number 32 overall. He's right. Now, of course, Steve took that, and Steve was right. It's like, yeah, how many guys are there that pick number one overall, and the number one overall pick wasn't on the roster when you're picking number 32 overall? From what I could tell, there was none. But when Jason Light said that, I'm like, that's a good question. So off to the internet I went. And I only went back as far as 1970. There might be two other guys before 1970. I'm just going off the top of my head. Maybe Lombardi, maybe Hank Stram. But I say maybe because I don't know. There's only been four guys in the history of the NFL who picked number one overall and then later for the same team picked number 32 overall, meaning their team won the Super Bowl. Light's one of those four guys. The other three guys are all in the Hall of Fame. The most recent guy was Bill Polian. Before that, it was Jimmy Johnson. Before that, and it's a little murky because back then the general manager, that meant something totally different back in 1970. And this guy wasn't picking the number 32 selection overall, but he had a hand in it. So that's why I say it's kind of murky. It's not really clear who was picking and who wasn't. But that would have been Dan Rooney, the Steelers GM, when they picked Bradshaw. And I think that was more Art Rooney Jr. or Chuck Knoll than Dan Rooney. So it's kind of murky who was making those picks. Let's say Stram did do that. And let's say Lombardi did do that. And just for spits and giggles, throw in Don Shula. Still, every guy that picked number one and number 32 are all in the Hall of Fame except for Light.
I urge you to go back on the ledge, Lee. Go back on the ledge.
I'm just saying, if you go by history, he could be in the Hall of Fame.
That's as crazy as you saying that Jameis Winston led the league in passing in 2019. He absolutely did not. He absolutely did not.
Who had more? Oh, sorry, he's number two, buddy.
You got to stop saying that because
where is it wrong, Ira?
He led the league in passing yards, not in passing.
Yes. That's well, okay. He led the league in passing. To me, that's passing yards. Lead the league in pass. I'm sorry, I don't like my vernacular.
Your vernacular is wrong, DeKemper. And can Jason Light have a winning record overall before I consider him for a bust, DeKemper? I mean, come on now.
I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame. I'm saying he may be in line because every person, every suit that's done what White has done, everyone has been in the Hall of, is in the Hall of Fame. Not going to be. They're in there.
Steve, help me out here. I'm worried about the Kemper getting his shot last week, and and now he's hallucinating. What's going on here?
I got to ask you. Is Bill Polian, you should know this. You voted for the guy. Is Bill Polian in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he turned around three franchises. That's not the reason they're in the Hall of Fame.
I would imagine. I imagine that's one of the reasons. But I'm just saying, if you go by history. You know, I'm not campaigning for Light. I'm just saying, if you go by history, every guy that's done that is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that's not up for dispute.
I really is not wrong. I'm just not sure it's any accomplishment. And especially when you consider that Jason Light tanked that last game with the organization to get the number one pick. So, I mean, what the hell? But he's, look, the guy's...
And still they almost screwed it up. That's how bad that team was.
Light's,
they almost screwed that up.
Light's 50 years old. He may have another 10, 12 years as a GM in Tampa and beyond. So he's really just maybe midway at the most through his career. So it's too early to say. But you're right, Ira. He needs a winning record. He's 45-67. He's got four playoff wins on top of that. He's going to need to get a winning record, another Super Bowl. And we're long way off.
Steve, I just want to give our listeners a taste of what's ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, in the next podcast for this week, Lee DeKemper will make the case for Mike Greenberg going in the Ring of Honor. Man. Listen up, people. Listen up.
All right, Ira, last Bucks question for you. Given the all-in nature of what's going on, do you just keep the foot on the freaking gas? And I mean that in the sense of, are you willing to start trading 2022 draft picks to move up in the 2021 draft to maybe get the guy you want to really make a further impact? if you're gonna sell sell everything down the river, why not just get a speedboat and let it rip?
Well, I understand your point, Steve, but Lee, I'm not being facetious when I say this. I think they have a glaring hole, Lee. I really don't.
Where?
Now, if they lose Sue, you could argue they could use another interior defensive line. And I don't mean for depth. I mean as a potential starter.
I agree. But,
Steve, other than that, I'm not going to trade up for a guy who's going to give me depth. I'm not going to do that with the worry that one of my guys is going down. Yeah, you know, that's quite a luxury, Steve. But I understand your point about being all in. I do think, Lee, maybe there's a guy in free agency that can provide depth that normally, you know, maybe a 31-year-old that normally they would turn a blind eye to. Because, Lee, you and I remember the days if you were over 30, you had no chance to join the Bucks as a free agent. Wasn't going to happen.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
Ira, you joined us as a free agent over 30. Now you're over 80, and you need a nap, so get out of here. Put your feet up.
Here's one real quick for you, Ira. It's not about Jason Light, by the way, but about the Hall of Fame. And I thought of this the other day, and I thought it's interesting. I don't know if this alone puts the guy in the Hall of Fame, but it's certainly something mentioned. You know, there's talk that since Flores got voted in, that next man up is going to be George Seifert. And he was obviously very terrible at the Panthers. But I think one selling point for George Seifert, and again, I just thought of this the other day, like, well, okay, are there only two coaches that have won Super Bowls with multiple quarterbacks? I know Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three quarterbacks, which is just incredible to think about. But Seifert won with Steve, I know they're both Hall of Famers, but with Steve Young and Joe Montana.
Off the top of my head, I'm not that sure.
Joe Gibbs did, Parcells, they're guys.
Parcells did because of what's his face, the back of Pasta. You're right. But
hey,
he's in Hall of Fame too. So
cue up those Everybody Loves Raymond reruns. Get out of your beautiful cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy, you got it.